And I wish him so much success. I don't want him to have success when he plays the Cowboys as much as I do want him to have overall success. But Micah Parsons did an outstanding job for us for 4 years. And a little bit of the way Herschel Walker may have had his greatest contribution to the Cowboys, what he brought to us when he left could be a tremendous thing for our fans and the success of this team.
That was Jerry Jones yesterday responding to the trade and the idea that Micah Parsons is now a Green Bay Packer. We are at the Barley House. We are here with our friends with Real American Freestyle. It is Jonathan Pito and Nick Bedone with you guys. And I want to ask you, Nick, because I've laid out my – it's almost a defense of Jerry, which is just an awful place to be in because it never seems like you want to be in defense of Jerry Jones. And maybe it's just watching that documentary. I just got a soft spot for Jerry right now. You know, but we're at
fell for the propaganda.
Well,
that's what
we're
happened.
We're at this Real American Freestyle event where clearly I'm a showman in many ways, and I like the showmanship of it all. And I've always appreciated the idea that you have 31 owners and then a TV producer in Jerry Jones. Like, there's a part of me that likes it. I also like that it's not our owner, even if our owner seems like he's a cousin of Jerry Jones sometimes. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that I think you can make a real football argument for why they would get rid of Micah Parsons. You just have to dive deeper than Micah Parsons needs to be on the Dallas Cowboys, and you can't get rid of guys that are 26 years old and have had four straight seasons of 12.5-plus sacks.
That's the piece of it, right, is that he's just now getting ready to step into his prime, and it's a Cowboys defense. You said it, JP. They were already bad. So if that defense was already bad with Micah Parsons on it,
yeah,
what's it going to be without Micah Parsons?
But I think that's the question
worse.
That Jerry is really curious to find out. Is like, if we fill it in with just a couple guys, can we even get worse? And I would point to the Bengals and say, yeah, you probably can. Like, there is a spot that you become what Joe Burrow was last year, which was one of the best offensive performances we've seen in football history, and it just doesn't matter because your defense isn't good enough. But that's the roll of the dice that they're going to try to make. They're going to try to win on the offensive side of the ball while understanding that you just can't put that much of your cap space towards three guys.
I've been a Browns fan my whole life.
That that's the argument, but we have no proof in football history that you can do three guys mega deals that way and have it work out.
As a Browns fan my entire life, it can always get worse. You know, so pump the brakes, press the brakes on saying that it can't get worse. I do agree with you that it would be them banking on their superstars. And that's virtually what Cincinnati's doing, because they paid Burrow, they paid Chase, they paid Higgins. Outside of that, their roster's patched together with guys that they drafted and that are on rookie deals or young players that they've identified.
That's why they can't pay a defense right now. Like, it's like, that's when you put that much of the cap space towards one side of it, it becomes really tough. I brought up the Chiefs a few years ago when they paid Mahomes, Chris Jones, and Frank Clark. This was before they even paid Travis Kelce, and they were like, all right, Tyreek Hill, we can't afford you. Like, we just know this isn't going to be able to happen. The Rams a couple years ago, when they were paying Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, and Matthew Stafford, like, you had to make some deals, essentially. Like, you can't keep everybody, and unfortunately for the Cowboys, if you're in this discussion, you should think you'd have more to fall back on, but right now it's Dak, it's CeeDee Lamb, and then it's paying everyone on that offensive line.
I just feel like I can't defend Jerry. I can't defend the Cowboys because they did themselves no favors in this entire thing. Like the Tyreek Hill situation. That started and ended within 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that they weren't going to pay him. He said that I'm going to get traded, and he was traded. This has been going on for months and months, and Jerry said it in his press conference yesterday, I could have paid him in April. Yeah, you could have. You also probably could have traded him in April.
Well, that's the showman of this all, right?
That's Jerry
milking out 5 months of content
But maybe that cost him in the long run, because I'm looking at a situation that we've got here in Cleveland. The Browns, JP, got more for Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Cowboys got for Micah Parsons. Travis Hunter could turn into this two-way unicorn that Andrew Berry called him the next Shohei Ohtani. I understand that. Micah Parsons is a real bona fide all-pro pass rusher who's stepping into his prime right now, and they didn't even get what the Browns got for Travis Hunter. We got a top five pick out of that. The Jaguars aren't going to be very good next year. The Packers are going to be pretty good next year with Micah Parsons. So that pick that we're going to get from Jacksonville is going to be better than whatever Dallas gets from Green Bay. At least I'm imagining that's without any big injuries and things like this.
But we'll have to take a trade value chart on that one. Yeah,
right. We'll have to
pull
out the
spreadsheets.
But yeah, when you're just looking at in Kenny Clark, who's 30 years old and an interior defensive lineman, I'll take the Browns package for Travis Hunter over what they just got for Micah Parsons. That's crazy.
All right, so let me ask you this, though, because I've been thinking about this. And would the reaction with the Myles Garrett trade have been that different than the Micah Parsons one? 216-474 to below 92. What's interesting to me, and I got a couple buddies that are in Dallas, but what I find fascinating is that the buddies that I've talked to, their instant response was, well, he never shows up in the postseason. Past October, he never showed up anyway. And that's basically the old TJ Watt is what we call that one. Just 3 months left in the season, and he's already cooked and doesn't show up in big-time games. We've already identified a couple pass rushers across the league that's the exact recipe that they have. In fact, it was a critique of Miles for a while there. No questions about that. But there's a lot of Cowboys fans that are just making peace with it.
There are.
It's kind of like, if you break up with somebody and then
yourself that you're good.
Yeah, and your buddies, they help you out with this too. And they'll just be like, oh, yeah, no, she was awful. Like, I mean, I know you liked her, but I've been the friend that has done this for friends. And then they get back together and it's so awkward because then you're like, wait, so when you said that you thought that she was just an awful human, did you actually mean that? No, I didn't mean that.
I was just looking out for you. Oh. I was just trying to make the situation better.
Kind of like if Micah Parsons got traded back to Dallas, all these people probably would be saying nice things. But I do wonder if this would have gone down this same way with Myles Garrett. Like, would we have just found every way to critique and be basically mean to Myles Garrett the same way that it feels like Cowboys fans have turned on Micah Parsons?
Probably. I think you would be able to look at, because we almost kind of did it, because it was really leaning towards, yeah, Miles was dug in, he was standing 10 toes down, how do you come back from the Radio Row interviews that he did? So we were kind of starting to toe that line already, that Miles isn't much of a leader, like all of that conversation was already happening. We were already we were preparing ourselves for the breakup. We were making ourselves at peace with, this might be an individual that we don't actually need. And then when he put pen to paper, it was all forgiven and okay, you better go sack some quarterbacks if you're going to be making that kind of dough. I think we probably would have convinced ourselves that the Browns didn't need Myles Garrett, like what Dallas fans are forced to do right now without Micah Parsons.
Or do you build yourself excuses? Because there are a segment of Dallas Cowboys fans that are turning around and being like, well, it is Jerry's fault. You know, if I saw one meme, I saw 12,000 about how much people hate Jerry Jones yesterday. And so because there's a part of me that was giving Miles not a Peterlin pass, but definitely some sense of a pass with the idea that I can respect when somebody wants to go play for a better quarterback, play for a better team, play for a better situation.
We could have definitely revisited the Deshaun Watson trade had they traded Myles Garrett, because that trade effectively has cost you.
And, oh, yeah. And
we're living this in real time. Like, the Deshaun Watson trade has cost Myles Garrett years of his career that have just gone by the wayside without playing meaningful football games. And he's made the most of that. You know, last year, being able to win Defensive Player of the Year when the team is not performing well is a feather in Myles Garrett's cap. But I think he said it best, like, when he was dragging the team on Radio Row. He's looking to win Super Bowls and contend for championships. And are we really close to doing that in Cleveland? I don't know. But we would have been able to make ourselves at peace because we would have played the blame game on everybody else. It would have been Miles' fault. Then it would have been Deshaun Watson's fault for the trade and then never living up to those expectations. We definitely would have passed a ton of blame all over the place.
Well, because what's interesting is that you notice how with Dallas, and I love that the Dallas connection exists here, but with the Luka Doncic trade, people didn't blame Luka.
Right.
They just blamed the front office. They blamed Dallas. They blamed everyone but Luka, and Luka did it the right way because Luka at the end of it was like, I wanted to be here forever. And in the meanwhile, he's getting fat shamed. You know, like, and so like there was a lot that he did that I thought was right. Whereas I don't know that Miles would have been able to pull at those strings the same way.
Another piece of the Luka thing that I found fascinating, like almost the parallels of this, are we sure that the Cowboys fielded other offers than just the Packers?
Great point.
Because, like, you traded him within the conference, which is similar to the Dallas thing. You traded him to the Lakers, which you're still in the Western Conference.
No, I like that.
You trade him to the Packers. And that was another big criticism on the Luka trade. It was like, you literally talked to one team for Luka Doncic. I'm not sure that Jerry Jones had his phone lit up.
Now, if you look at the cap and everything like that, you could tell because you need to have $23 million in change in order to even do this trade.
There was only like six or seven teams.
I think it was like six in total. But like the Lions were one of those teams. And the Lions need somebody opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, one of the best pass rushers in the entire game. Like, they could have used him. They could have 100%. If you tell me Brad Holmes and all the Brad bots that exist in Detroit, they couldn't have done something with that price.
Any contending team that had, like Detroit is the one. And if that's the price, like, two first-round picks, when you're a quality team, first-round picks don't matter a whole lot because that means you're going to be drafting at the end of the first round. If the Packers are good and the sports books are expecting them to be better than what they had anticipated once that Parsons trade went down, their Super Bowl odds jumped from 17-1 to 14-1, so they're expecting them to be pretty decent. Those first-round picks are going to be late. They're going to be in the late 20s, early 30s. If they win the Super Bowl, it's going to be the last pick of the first round. So you got to at some point forget about the draft picks
if you're a quality team.
So Detroit, Detroit should have done it.
It's Les Snead while on the Super Bowl parade route doing F them picks. And the reason why he got to say F them picks is because of the Jalen Ramsey deal where he gave up a boatload of first-round picks. And that one, you can make an argument, didn't even really work out for them in many respects outside of the idea that they won a Super Bowl. And because they won a Super Bowl, it doesn't matter what happened in the years after that, and it doesn't matter what happened to the idea that they went 7 years without drafting in the first round. They won a Super Bowl.
It heals everything. It really does. And it's crazy like that we can even sit here and say that in good faith because we've never had one. We've never played in one. But it really does make everything go away.
I'm trying to think more about the Miles side of this. And I want your guys' reaction. 216-474 to below 92. Would the reaction with the Miles Garrett trade have been that different than the Micah Parsons one? You know, Micah Parsons playing for the star. Jerry Jones crosses the street, and that leads First Take in the morning. You know what I mean? Like that comes with the territory of it all. Nonetheless, when they have actual mega news, but Miles Garrett had the attention of everyone for a month.
He did.
Miles Garrett had the attention of anyone that does anything in the NFL space for a very long time.
Do you think Miles regrets that he gave in as soon as he did? Because do you think he's looking at his own situation, saying, "I'm technically by the books right now, better." Then Michael Parsons.
I mean, I think Miles is the best pass rusher in the game. I really don't think it's that close.
And I think Miles knows that. So I could have got what I wanted. I could have got out. I could have gone to a contender where I could factor in my legacy and all of those things that he was dragging the Browns about. And I also potentially could have got more than what this dude got paid had I just waited a couple more months, had I made it a little bit more ugly.
So if you're Miles, did you feel like you misplayed your whole entire situation?
I wonder. I hope he's not thinking about requesting another one because now he's got a no trade clause.
But the difference with Miles is that he still had a contract to begin with anyway. And so the Browns still could have played hardball. And if hardball turned into him having to hold out the same way that Micah Parsons did, the only problem I had in this entire Miles discussion when we were doing it 3-4 months ago was that people thought that Miles would just miss games and Miles would be willing to miss a whole entire season in order to try to get what was his and get what was right, and I just don't buy that.
No. I didn't buy it for Hendrickson, I didn't buy it for Parsons.
I mean, these are Hall of Fame years.
Yeah.
Like, these are the years that matter the most if you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You can't just miss a whole season.
And not to mention, okay, so that's the legacy piece of it, but not to mention the other piece of it is the earnings. I mean, you as a professional athlete,
right,
you have, and while you're making, in Miles' case, $40 million a year now, you only have 10 years if you're a generational Hall of Fame player like Miles to get all of that money while you can. And these guys have egos. They want to be the number one paid player at their position, regardless of sport. They want to capitalize on their earning windows.
No question about it. All right, Joshua Perry, we're going to get into Ohio State and Texas, one of the biggest opening weekends of college football that we can remember in, I'm just going to say, the past 20, 25 years, which might be your whole entire existence on Earth. Okay? So your whole life, this might be the biggest weekend. He'll join us coming up at 3 o'clock. Quick Hits comes your way next. It's Afternoon Drive. We're at the Barley House. We're with our friends with Real American Freestyle with you guys right here on The Fan.